Our text tonight is found in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. It's a passage which covers a number of subjects or a number of sermons which could be preached from this text. But we want to focus on one particular part of it this evening while we speak of the certified gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul, in speaking to the Corinthian brethren, the Galatian brethren, the Ephesian brethren, the Philippian brethren, and everyone else with whom he came in contact, always preached the certified gospel. What do we mean by certified gospel? Have you ever gone down to the bank to get a certified check? That is something that is of guarantee to be authentic. You can take a certified check to any place and they will accept it. Have you ever purchased seed? You want to buy certified seed. You do not want to buy just any seed and plant it and wait to see what comes up. You want to buy certified seed, that which is guaranteed to be authentic. As Paul preached this certified gospel, he preached four characteristics of it. We want to take a look at these this evening, so that we might compare what Paul preached as the certified gospel and compare it to what we are to hear in the coming weeks and months, and to ensure that we are receiving that which God intended. First, let us understand that the certified gospel is revealed. We saw in verse 11 and 12 of our text the words of the Apostle Paul as given to him by the Spirit. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what gives that more weight is the fact that he had said before, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. He had previously, as he began that particular division or chapter of the book of Galatians, marveled that some were so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He pointed out that it wasn't another gospel altogether, but someone had perverted the gospel, and in so doing became pleasers of men. This certified gospel that was revealed was not received of man, but was taught to Paul, given to Paul, delivered to Paul by the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to understand that this is not the only place that he made this proclamation. We also understand that every proclamation that Paul made was guided by the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, we see yet another one. Another proclamation which helps us to understand, and also how we can understand. He says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote it for in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. We need to realize what is being said here. Not only did he receive by revelation the gospel which God intended for man to have, but it is now recorded, it is now for us, because in verse 4 he says, whereby when you read, you may understand. In our opening prayer this evening, it was mentioned that the word, our prayer is that the word be a seed in our heart. We need to realize that unless we put the seed in our heart, it's not going to be planted, and therefore it will not grow. This is what Paul was telling these Ephesian brethren, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge. It was revealed to Paul, and it was given so that he might pass it on to others. And so we see from this that Paul claimed direct revelation. Anyone can so claim. There have been many who have claimed direct revelation, even some in our lifetimes, who have said that I have received a revelation from God. Well, the proof's in the pudding. According to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we see that the direct revelation that was received of Paul and the other apostles and those prophets that he mentioned in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, was confirmed by visible power. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witnesses, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Those who claim to have direct revelation or spiritual gifts today will try to make people think that they are doing things like healing, that sort of thing. It's interesting to me, as you watch these events occurring, people will tell the folks, you have to have faith. And so you go over here and you sit down a little while and let's see if you can muster up enough faith for you to be healed. But show me one instance when the people were not healed immediately, either when they were touched, spoken to, or told to go do something. Somebody's very quickly going to jump on that and say, well, now, there were several who were not healed immediately. The lepers were told to go wash. They were healed on the way. It's because they were going to wash. Naaman was healed when he came up out of the water that last time. And it's because they had faith in what they were being told to do and in him who told them to do those things. The visible power was there. God bearing witness with both signs and wonders. It is interesting today to corner someone who believes in the spiritual gifts, who believes in present day direct revelation. Try this. Take their Bible away from them. Ask them Bible questions. You won't get an answer. Paul claimed direct revelation, but he confirmed it. It was confirmed with signs and wonders. Others received revelation by preaching. Today, we receive revelation. When people preach the Word of God, this certified gospel, it is revealed to us if it is something that we have not yet heard. In Titus chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, we see this. He says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You see, it was always the plan of God that man could have eternal life. But look at verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed to me and according to the commandment of God our Savior. Another way of saying this is that in due times, God made his word known, that's what manifested means, through preaching. Of all of the conversions that you can find in the book of Acts, just show me one that wasn't a result of someone preaching the gospel. You can't find it because it's not there. The same thing is true today. Those who come to an understanding of the Word of God is because the revealed Word of God is proclaimed to them, and they then understand what they are to do to be saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, we see how the world looks at preaching. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What is it that preaching this certified gospel produces? It produces salvation in those who will receive the word and who will be obedient to it. Therefore, we have no right to expect or claim direct revelation today. Jesus even warned his disciples that there would be those in the last days coming and saying that Christ is here or Christ is there. They were not to rush out to the desert to see him, because there were going to be those claiming that they were the Christ. There were also going to be those that claimed that they had a new revelation, a new and exciting way to serve God. That certified gospel has been revealed. There is no more revelation. It is recorded for us so that we might have it. Secondly, I submit this evening that the certified gospel is exclusive. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, we see from our text, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." I will tell you that there are those preaching a multiplicity of things from various pulpits this evening. They are doing so because they have not studied properly. They have not read properly. They have not rightly divided the word of truth. Not everything that's said from every pulpit is necessarily wrong, but not everything is necessarily right either. And we have to make sure that we go by that certified gospel. This certified gospel, which Paul proclaims would cause one to be accursed if they preached anything else, came from one God, one Lord, and one Spirit. The source of revelation, the source of the certified gospel, is God. There was one Lord and is one Lord. And this word that was revealed, this certified gospel, was delivered by one Spirit. And it produces, amazingly enough, one faith, one hope, and one baptism. We find this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. So many people the world over today have trouble understanding when we say that there is one church. They say, "Well, I cannot believe that just you and that little group that you're worshiping with are the only ones that are going to be saved." That's not what we said. We said there is only one church. There may be that one church located in different locales, different states, different cities, different towns, but they're all to go by the one gospel, the certified gospel that was sent from God. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6 says, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Notice all the ones there. It speaks to the fact that the certified gospel is exclusive. It commands one baptism. We just read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Go out tomorrow. As you come in contact with those in the workplace, ask them, for what reason were they baptized? You're going to receive a multiplicity of answers. Some will say they were baptized to join the church. You can't find that in the Bible. What you can find is those who were baptized according to the certified gospel. This certified gospel endorses but one way of truth. Remember, but though we or an angel from heaven, the "we" here in this particular verse, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, are the apostles. But though we, the apostles, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. But in Ephesians chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we'll see that this certified gospel, this exclusive gospel, endorses but one way of truth. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I recall in reading where Pilate asked the question, what is truth? You know, people all over the world today are asking, what is truth? When you get into a discussion with someone relative to truth, they'll say, well, that might be truth to you, but it's not truth to me. I'm sorry, friends, that can't be. The certified gospel is that one way of truth. Notice, who will have all men to be saved? Speaking of God, it is God's will that all mankind is saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. As we understand that there is but one way of truth, we must also understand that truth opposes any other doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, that is exactly the situation that was going on. Paul, in writing to Timothy, of course, being given the words to write by the Spirit, as these are inspired words, in chapter 1, verse 3, says, as I sought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. What was being done there were some who were teaching something that was not the certified gospel. Today, we must realize and understand that there are folks that are teaching something other than the certified gospel. As sad as it is and as much as it pains me, we must realize and understand that there are those that are within the body of Christ that are teaching something separate and apart from that certified gospel. How are we to deal with that? In 2 John, verses 9 through 11, we'll see the instruction regarding this. It tells us how to identify these people. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Remember, it is exclusive, this gospel is. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Verse 10 is the admonition. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You might very well, when you bid him Godspeed, just go out and join with him in doing these things. And as we stand strong and oppose other doctrine, we refuse compromise with any other doctrine. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, well before our day, we'll see the example set before us. We see what the Apostle Paul and those with him did when some came in and brought in some other doctrine. They didn't say, well, that's okay, you can see it your way, I'll see it mine. He says, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. When these people brought in this false doctrine, they didn't allow it to continue. They wanted to make sure that the truth of the gospel might continue with these Galatian brethren. That they might have that certified gospel that is exclusive. That certified gospel is pure. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7, back to our text, we'll see him saying, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ, talking about those who had presented a perverted gospel that had caused them to be removed from the gospel of Christ. A perverted gospel is transformed into something of opposite character. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, we'll see one who wanted to pervert the right ways of the Lord. One who wanted to stand in the way of the proclaiming of the word of God. It says, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn aside the proconsul from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fastened his eyes on him and said, O fool of guile and all villainy, thou son of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Anyone who stands between someone and their hearing the gospel are just these very same things that Paul described them as. Full of guile and all villainy, son of the devil, enemy of all righteousness. You cannot be a friend of God and a foe of God at the same time. Jesus said it very plainly. No man can serve two masters. This certified gospel that is pure is not perverted. A perverted gospel produces perverted effect. It produces a perverted faith. We have names for these perverted faiths. Denominationalism, humanism, modernism. There are several other isms that are out there that are associated with a perverted gospel. If one preaches and holds to a perverted gospel, they have a perverted hope. A perverted hope is based upon premillennialism or things such as the social gospel. There are those who are date setters for the end of the world because they have a perverted hope. Several years ago, there were those who sold everything they had, went up into the mountains. How sad it was when they came down with their heads hung because the date that they were given was wrong. All they had to do was go to the pure gospel and read. And Jesus said, no man knoweth of that day and hour. A perverted gospel produces a perverted body, which is any group of religious folks that follows man-made doctrine and call themselves by man-made names and continue to promote such things. The certified gospel is not only revealed, it's not only exclusive, it's not only pure, but it's also behavior setting. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. We'll see the Apostle Paul writing to the brethren there at Philippi. He tells them how to conduct themselves. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or be absent, I may hear of your state, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one soul, striving for the faith of the gospel. We need to understand that these people hearing this pure, exclusive, certified gospel would set their behavior by it. It sets the standard for moral behavior. There's a TV commercial on. Of all things, it's about Kraft macaroni and cheese. The man sneaks up on his kid and swipes some of his macaroni and cheese. Well, just before that, the child has swiped some macaroni and cheese from his younger sibling. And so the father says, where did you learn that? Finally, the kid says, I learned it from you. Our behavior is set by those things which we allow around us. So many people go out into the world and they think that the filth, the nastiness, the sin of the world will not rub off on them. But it will. If we adhere to this certified gospel, our moral behavior would be better. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 gives us the actions of men when the standard is set by men. Even though Peter was an apostle, he succumbed to pressure exerted by those who were full of self-importance, those who held themselves in higher esteem than others. Let's read this. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Cephas before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest as do the Gentiles, and do not as the Jews, how compellest the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? What we have here was an astonishing thing. We have an apostle of Jesus Christ being called down. Whoa, Peter, you're in the wrong here. How harmful that could have been. Why, Peter could have said, Wait a minute, you can't talk to me that way. I'm an apostle. Was Paul not an apostle? Both of them couldn't be right at the same time. Oh, I guess they could. But not having done separate things, having participated in different behavior, one of them had to be right and the other wrong. But notice the standard that was set here. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, this is the reason why Paul publicly said to Cephas in front of them all, Hey, what are you doing? Seems that Peter had forgotten the lesson that he had learned in Acts chapter 10. Four times. If I remember correctly, maybe it was three times. The sheet was offered or lowered down. I think it was three times. Three times the sheet, I was just checking to see if you were listening. Three times the sheet was lowered down. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. No, not so, Lord. Nothing common or unclean had entered my mouth. He finally had to be brought to an understanding that that which God had cleansed was not to be called unclean. Notice the effect of the moral behavior when it is established by men. Verse 13 of Galatians chapter 2, And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. You know, to get some group to follow, all you need are one or two. You get one or two to follow, and the rest kind of come on board. And this is what was happening here. The standard is to be the pure gospel, the exclusive gospel, the behavior-setting gospel. According to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, this certified gospel demands dealing upright with family, friends, neighbors, and enemies. Notice what they are told there. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. This includes family, friends, neighbors, and enemies. Instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Don't say it can't be done, because the Apostle Paul tells Titus that it can be done. It also sets spiritual standards of behavior. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, we see Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy. he calls for Timothy to join with him in something. He says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. And if also a man contend in the games, he is not crowned, except he have contended lawfully. We need to understand that what's being said here is that we have to play by the rules. The rules are found in the certified gospel, and only there. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, we see the words of Jesus Christ when he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, or must worship in spirit and in truth. This truth is what is found in the certified gospel. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we see, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, or in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. But we see what happens when man has established the standard. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So sad. We can also go to that certified gospel to see what it is that we must do in order to stay saved. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, We have to adhere to that certified, exclusive, pure, behavior-setting doctrine. And that means that we have to continue in it. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. That means that there is a reward at the end. Obey that certified gospel plan of salvation. Obey the only doctrine with apostolic certification. Believe no other and obey no other. And that means day to day. Initially, what are we to do? According to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we are to hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then we are to believe, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then we are to repent. Luke chapter 13 verses 3 and 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then we are to confess. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 8, Jesus said, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And then we're to be baptized. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Perhaps you have done these things, but there's something else that we must know, that we must adhere to. According to that certified gospel, we must remain faithful until death. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, the latter part says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Surely we want that crown of life. Let's follow that certified gospel. But perhaps this evening you're here and you've heard, believed, repented, confessed, been baptized. That makes you a child of God if you were baptized for the remission of sins. But perhaps you've not been faithful. That being the case, you need to repent and pray. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, we see this is exactly what Simon the sorcerer had been told. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Do you need to obey that certified gospel tonight? If you do, won't you come? Let us stand and sing.